This is Whispers of Oxenfurt, which, as of now, April of 2019, is the only podcast dedicated to the Witcher universe. This is mainly about, but not specific, to the book series by Polish author Andrzej Sapkowski. So as maybe you can tell by my voice, as there's something just like it's lodged in my throat, that means weather has come, usually rain. You know, they always say animals are the first to know about the bad weather. Well, I would be the second one to know, because if I wake up and I sound like this and my voice feels like this, that means there's a rain a-coming. So hopefully it's not too annoying. If you didn't notice it, now you probably will notice it that I pointed it out. So I guess it's kind of making a mountain out of a molehill. See that? I'm going to say weird stuff like that, and I'm probably not going to edit it out because it's probably going to take a long time. So, today is Tower of Swallows, Chapter 5. We meet and get introduced formally to who is probably my favorite character in the series, not my favorite non-main character. I think you should separate the main characters, although is there really? Okay, and again. Now I'm just talking, which is what happens when I get up on these things and I don't stick to the script. So today's Tower Swallows, Chapter 5. Afterwards, there isn't really anything real life, whatever you want to call it, to talk about in this chapter. It was relatively short, but I will read off a tweet that I got and talk about podcasters and creators and what I would like each of you listeners to do. So that will be after the summary. So now that we're getting on going on about 2 minutes, which is always longer than I want to do, let's get on with Chapter 5. Geralt, the deserter of Rivia, is being dressed down by the prefect of Redbrunn, Folko Artevelde. And it almost seems like this is one of those, because it's from Geralt's point of view. Boy, I bet you're wondering how I got in this mess. On a freeze frame. So it was after 5 days of traveling with those delightful beekeepers, they reach the town of Redbrunn, which is in the county of Sodden. It's near Rivia. At this point right now, it's kind of a source where the Nilfgaardian, it's not a garrison yet, but Nilfgaardian armies are kind of amassing as they make their way north. And a key, almost thrown away phrase that is, after being paid by the beekeepers, Geralt felt the mocking gaze of Kyr and Regis as the Witcher had moaned about human ingratitude and the stupidity of selfless altruism. And I really do think that this is on purpose to show that Geralt is not some lawful good or heroic figure, like a white knight who looks out for the best interests of peasants or those that cannot help themselves. Of course, when it comes down to it, he does tend to help those in need at certain times. So maybe this is just another case of him lying to himself, like we have seen from him in his supposed neutrality. A keeper tells Geralt that the druids are nearby, but instead of taking off then, the Witcher is convinced to stay a night in the town. And of course, I'm sure nothing will happen. They'll drink some ale, have a good night's rest, and then start off in the morning. Of course they don't, because while they are tying one off, or is it tying one on when you have a drink? I always thought it was tying one off, but I think I've heard people say it's tying it on. Anyway, he's detained and taken to Folko. Simple questions he asked the Witcher. Why are you in the slopes? What do you seek? And Geralt is like, well, my business, unless I'm under arrest, which, not yet. They talk a lot, but finally get to bringing in the criminal who let Folko on to Geralt's movements.
Look at what the cat dragged in.
Angoulême, which if you're pronouncing it like the French town, which is kind of decently hard to say. So thought about just calling it, was like Angie, but then it's like, no, doesn't seem kind of to sound right either. And then when I think of Angie, I always think of the Rolling Stones song and want to sing it, but you know, just like you say to the God of Death, not today. Geralt instantly mistakes her for Ciri, dead on. She proceeds to explain where his Hansa was and where it is he was going, with one mistake, that there are four of them and not five. She continuously pops off at the mouth, and the guard there continuously pops her in the mouth several times as a result. Homer Stragon, also known as Nightingale, is the leader of the self-titled gang whom Anguim was once a part of. He had been hired by a half-elf to take the Witcher out when he reaches the upcoming town of Belhaven. Anguim is to be hanged rather than a series of horrible tortures that only a Nilfgaardian or Nilfgaardian sympathizer could think of. Folko ends up enlisting the Witcher to be his informant and to take care of Stragon. Geralt requests two things, which are granted. Well, the first one wasn't granted because he wished to seek out the Druids west, but nope, they are headed towards the Duchy of Toussaint under the care of the Duchessa Anna Henrietta in the city of Beauclair. The last one is that Angoulême is freed and allowed to join him. Regis asks Geralt in a tone new to him that maybe the bandit girl is lying? She shoots back a, "Don't accuse me of lying with no proof, nuncle." "I'm not your uncle, dear child." "Well, I'm not your dear child, uncle." And I think this clip that I'm going to put here from the show South Park kind of sums up Regis and Angoulême's interactions here and then Angoulême and Milva a little later.
"I'm not your buddy, friend. He's not your friend, guy. I'm not your guy, buddy.
He's not your buddy, friend.
I'm not your friend, guy.
Let's give it up, guy.
Don't call me your guy. I am not your guy, friend.
I'm not your friend, buddy.
I'm not your buddy, guy."
Yeah, that last heated one there is like Milva when Angoulême calls her auntie, and she is like, "Do not call me that again." Geralt says that he, Angoulême, and Milva will ride to Belhaven, while Kyr, Regis, and Dandelion will go to Toussaint. Dandelion says, whoa, I cannot go there, as it might as well mean death, you see, because, and Geralt interrupts him, because he is not having any of it. Geralt is just not here to play. He says that they have been betrayed, clearly, by someone in the group. And while saying why these groups are going this way, the bandit girl takes an inadvertent shot at Milva by saying, "Hey, you can't have two women to fight Stragon and his gang. I know what they're like." And he calls her, or she calls her, auntie again. And Milva is just fuming over there. But Geralt just kind of grabbing her like, "Angoulême, shut the hell up. And this is it." So he finally gets it out and is like, "I don't trust Kyr." He accuses him of being the traitor. And Kyr's like, "You know what? Enough of this crap." The gloves literally come off. They brawl, and Kyr gets a few licks in, says partly due to the still dull knee of Geralt. Milva, who, again, trying to calm them down, is Dandelion's like, "What are y'all doing?" As, you know, people are probably gathering around this to watch. Milva takes off her belt and proceeds to just beat the hell out of them. And this actually makes them stop as they both start getting welts on them. Angoulême calls her auntie one too many times, and the archer goes over and thrashes her across the shoulders, sending her to the ground, sobbing. Milva almost immediately seems to show regret as she stoops down and hugs her without saying a word. The morning of the day they are to split up, the Witcher makes his formal apology to Kyr for how he has treated him. And the Witcher now says that he knows that he is not the traitor, but has figured out who is or who he thinks is, mainly due to Angoulême said that there were four of them, not five, because they were seen via a spell. Regis, the vampire, would not show up, as this only detects humans. So whoever reported this was not actually there. They also received word that Ciri is almost certainly dead, and this is no longer a search and rescue mission, but one of cruel and bloody revenge. He also switches up the groups, as Kyr will now ride with him and Angoulême to Belhaven, which means Milva will now ride with Regis and Dandelion to Toussaint. The end of the chapter, Ciri recalls the Visigoda about the only dream that she has had of Geralt. She said she was locked in a cellar by Bonnart and paid for her cowardice with humiliation and self-contempt. She says that they had the dates wrong and that it was not even the equinox yet, so even if she did die on that date, it wasn't even that date yet. She also says that the mage Geralt accused of spying on them was Yennefer, and he shouldn't have said those things about her. The last thing I saw that I recalled from that dream was three riders, Geralt and two others, galloping toward a ravine with water gushing from its walls. So before I get into the talk about the email I received and other things to do in regards to creators and podcasters, I want to talk a little bit about how I have been critical, maybe not as much so because I don't want to be seen as like negative or anything, but I've been critical at times of the narrative decisions that Sapkowski takes, how it jumps around. I don't mind that it jumps around to different points of view or anything like that. That's fine. But what I don't like is when it jumps around just every few pages. There's a couple of chapters where just every few pages jumps around here and then jumps around there. And then it jumps around to characters we don't know about in order to forward the story from that point. And the only reason I'm critical of that is because chapters like this to me are so good and they are my favorite when it's just character development. And here, again, they add someone new to Geralt's Hansa. And it becomes like, oh, how's this going to work out? They're throwing in this bandit girl who clearly has a loud mouth. And it's like, well, you already have a woman with a loud mouth in Milva. And so that's almost answered now by them splitting the group up. And so this, you can almost say, is like an act one in all of these characters. And I kind of relate it to Lord of the Rings, the movies. Not the books, Lord of the Rings, the Fellowship, where you have the Fellowship and they're all together until, again, if you haven't watched, there's going to be minor spoilers. The movie came out like 20 years ago, so if you haven't watched it by now, whatever. Well, there's a big difference when Gandalf dies, but at the end of that movie, the Fellowship splits. And so that's why I love that first one so much, is you have them all together, you get to learn about them, see who they are, but again, you have to split up the group. It happens in every storytelling technique. You just have to do it. It's a way for everybody to grow and to kind of come into their own, as they all need to be characters in their own stories. They can't just be there to make the plot go forward. So same as here is they're going to split up, and again, a lot of people might not have liked each other because, hey, nothing happened. And that kind of came up with now the most recent episode of Game of Thrones, which was one of my favorite episodes that they've ever done because it's a bunch of people just talking. But I've seen a lot of people say, oh, that's the worst episode. And again, it's all subjective. If you didn't like that episode, you didn't like it. Just because I loved it doesn't mean that it was, oh my God, the best, and you're objectively wrong for not liking it. And the same thing with this chapter here. This is when I think Sapkowski's at his best, when it's just straightforward and he's not doing anything too outlandish, and it's just these characters coming in and we get to see them, especially Geralt, because he can be a little bland. And so when you see him come up here and when he's just had it with everything and then him and Kyr just get it out and fight, that was just, it was really good to see. It was really needed. And like I said, him making up with Kyr and then this group splitting is like the end of the first act of the search for Siri. So just wanted to kind of get that out. It's not too much of an analysis, but I love these chapters. So as I mentioned earlier, I received a tweet from Ariel and Yanko, who said, "Totally enjoying the in-depth analysis of the Witcher lore and how the story reflects the realities and experience of the author. Great work at Witcher Podcast. Your podcast makes me enjoy Witcher 3 game in another way." And so I'm not reading that to be like, oh, you know, patting myself on the back, but I just want to let y'all know, and I'm not fishing for compliments here, I just want to let y'all know that that comment about it made my day, and not only my day, it might have made my week, because I honestly, I don't get that much feedback. I get no negative feedback, which is great, but I don't get a lot of feedback. I don't get a lot of emails, and at times it's like, okay, man, how many people are really listening to this, and what does it mean? And I'll tell you what, if I didn't have the stats to look and see how many people download an episode or who have downloaded them total, I wouldn't know really how many people are listening to it. And so, and I'm guilty of this too, and I'm going to do this sometime today when this episode ends or when I get done with it. Go to at least one. You have to listen to other podcasts. Like, if this is the only podcast you listen to, there's so many other, not ones about The Witcher, but there's so many other better ones out there. There's going to be stuff that you like. Go seek them out. And especially seek out the ones who are like me, who are not professionals, who are, not only are they not making a dime, I mean, it costs me money to host that. And again, I'm not saying donate to me. If you want to give money to podcasters, do it to people who are trying to do it for a living, who are starting out doing it or trying to do it to be something bigger. I love doing this. It's fun. It doesn't cost that much to do. It takes some time. But go and tell those podcasters. Just tell them that you enjoy what they're doing. And like I said, especially the ones that are like me and they're very amateurish. Because I'm telling you, it will make their day if you tell them like how much it means. So it could be big, it could be not. They could have a Patreon, they couldn't. Even if it is, I'm telling you, they will really appreciate it. Even to a YouTuber or someone like that, anything that you watch or take in that you don't pay for, you don't have to give them money, but just let them know through a tweet, through an email, through anything that you appreciate what you're doing and that you enjoy it. A big reason that I started this was I was tired of being just a consumer, and I wanted to be a producer, not in the sense of that. I mean, I want to produce instead of just consume. There's millions of people out there who don't, and again, it's fine. I understand people don't have time. They don't have to do it, but I wanted to be a positive benefit on it, and it's just so easy to consume and be negative, and people out there who can just look at something that someone puts their ton of time and ton of money to be like, oh, well, that sucks, or oh, you should do this, oh, it should be better. And that just negativity can just wear people down, especially people who have taken that risk to do it. Because, like, I don't even want to go listen to my first several episodes, and I almost think about even taking them off, because if so many people are just like, oh, Witcher Podcast, I'll go listen to it. And they listen to those first few episodes and they're like, oh man, that guy sounds nervous, because I was. It took me from that first recording, it probably took me a couple hours just to get used to hearing my voice. And I was like, this is horrible. My voice sounds terrible. No one's going to want to listen to this. It's going to be amateurish. And you just have that doubt. And just letting people know that, no, hey, it's good to keep going is there. And it's a challenge too. If you want to do something, hey, why doesn't this exist? Then go do it. There wasn't a Witcher podcast. I was going to do it anyway. But once I saw that there wasn't one, that made me even more want to do it, because there's a void out there. I know people will like it, and just to do it. Another thing I've thought about doing too is potentially streaming the recording of an episode, just to kind of show people what goes into it and how much time it does. Because just to estimate it and just kind of, you know, peeling back the curtain here, what I generally do is I'll read through the chapter and I may or may not highlight it, but always just read through it just to kind of get the gist of, okay, it'll be in there. And then I'll come back to it, usually another day, to kind of let it sink in of what was important or what really stood out and what didn't. And at that point, I'll create my script of it. I'll kind of go through and write out exactly what I want to say, what I want to hit on. And so to do all that, depending on the length of the chapter, that can take, you know, a couple hours to do. And then from the time that it takes to actually get on here and record, from the time I actually start recording to the time I go through and editing, because editing is just the worst, to putting in some of the music. That's why sometimes, honestly, I don't put in the music. I'm just tired. I'm like, I don't want to do this anymore. Putting in the sound clips, putting in the music, and mine is about as easy as it's going to be, because everything a clip is on there made. I don't have ads to put in, and so mine's going to be as easy as it is. So if you listen to a podcast and they have a bunch of music overlays in there, or underlays, or whatever they call it, and other things, it could take a lot longer. But this today is probably going to take maybe another couple of hours, and so that's not with doing any kind of research. Now, if I'm going to do a topic, especially a historical one or a philosophical one on that, to do the research on that, I mean, that can just take however long of what it is. Like, if it's something that I know about and I want to make sure I get right, again, it could take another few hours to do. And so I do think a lot of people look, and this is going to be a little longer, you know, you look at like, it's only a 12 to 15 minute podcast, but that 12 to 15 minute podcast can take anywhere from a minimum of 5 to 6 hours on up to 8, depending on what it is. So if you look at some other podcasts that go 45 minutes to an hour, if there's any kind of editing involved, it could just be so much more if it's not just two people sitting around talking, if there's any kind of research done in it. It could just take a long time. So again, I've kind of meandered a lot. If you're still here, again, just please seek out some kind of creator, some podcaster, some YouTuber that you like, and just let them know that you appreciate what they're doing. Comments, questions, suggestions, email is witcherpodcast@gmail.com. The Twitter is @witcherpodcast. And again, if you haven't rated or reviewed the podcast, please do so. Really, really helps out. Next time on Whispers of Oxenfurt, this Chapter of Swallows. Next time, Whispers of Oxenfurt is Tower of Swallows, Chapter 6.